independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Who are the NFL teams that need more hype going into the 2022 season? You're going to get love from, like, the Bills, obviously. They had a great run last year. Kansas City, because of Mahomes. Cincinnati, I think, is going to have some hype because they went to the Super Bowl last year. NFC, you're going to be looking at the Rams. They won it. Aaron Rodgers, because he is a star. Who are some of the other teams that are in that conversation in terms of being good at football, but that don't get the hype that the others do?
I like the Niners. I think the Niners are a team that, again, has a Super Bowl caliber roster that has done it in a lot of ways with some smoke and mirrors because of Jimmy G, because of the fact that Trey Lance hasn't been ready yet. But when you look at what Debo was able to do, when you look at how good their defense was, when you look at the way they overcame injuries and continued to rack up wins, I think they should get more credit than they've gotten, actually, in terms of winning in Green Bay in the playoffs as well and going as far as they did. They should get more hype and love from the standpoint of, we don't know what they're going to do at quarterback, but until they move Jimmy G, they have options. And as long as their quarterback is serviceable, they have all the other weapons they need.
They do, but the quarterback position is the biggest hang-up, though, right? Because it is the most important position in the NFL. I think it's the most important position on par with the best player in an NBA team as the most important position in all of sports. So the fact that you have a Trey Lance, who we don't know a lot about. Like, if Trey Lance is a top 15 quarterback, they're a legit Super Bowl contender.
No question.
But I would say that the odds of him being a top 15 quarterback probably aren't great, especially in year one.
So, well, especially with what we've heard, too, right? Like, he's slow developing and grasping the playbook.
Yeah, but we also heard the opposite of that once they got to the playoffs.
He didn't play.
He didn't play, but neither did Pat Mahomes in year one.
Like, I can understand what they're doing right now, saying we still intend to trade Jimmy G to try and get some hype and some urgency around trade possibilities so that maybe they can stir it up again and get some talk started. But I think in their minds, in their heart of hearts, they don't want him going anywhere just yet, and they can use the surgery as an excuse because they know that they're too good everywhere else. If they know what we don't know about how he's been practicing Lance's and how he's looked, they've got a backup plan and an insurance policy they don't need to get rid of.
I would do that, too. I think that the whole, well, we need to get rid of Jimmy G because we don't want him surrounding Trey Lance because it's going to hurt Trey Lance. If you're a quarterback and you can't, like, have success because of who his backup quarterback is, then that quarterback's not going to have success, period. So I'm pro San Francisco keeping Jimmy Garoppolo. I just don't know if Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo, whichever quarterback it is, has me in the conversation of saying, oh, yeah, San Francisco belongs as a Super Bowl contender. Until Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't belong there for me. I know he's been to one. But Trey Lance, until he proves to me that he is capable of leading a team to a Super Bowl, I don't look at San Francisco as like a legit Super Bowl contender because of the quarterback position.
And that's fair.
How about the Baltimore Ravens as a team who needs more hype? Last year they were banged up.
No, because they got rid of their best receiver.
Yeah, but Lamar Jackson is not a quarterback who really relies on his receiver.
But if, look, not many receivers, but the one thing he has to have is the deep ball, and he had that with Hollywood Brown. The fact that you got rid of him, I think, is a big problem for them. I think that, look, getting back all the injured guys that they lost on offense and defense will be a big added benefit for them. We've already talked about how tough their division's going to be. We don't know if Lamar's going to hold out or not.
Yeah, he said that he's...
Well, he's tweeting over the weekend, I need that money.
He said it wasn't towards the Ravens, but who knows?
I mean, stop it. Who else is it going to be about?
The fact that a sponsor.
He's his own agent. What, is he mad because he's turned down all these shoe contracts, now he needs it?
Maybe he loaned a friend a couple bucks.
Okie doke.
I mean, it's subtle tweets. I don't like subtle tweets, but I don't
know. It wasn't rap
lyrics,
it was gold toofuses.
I don't know what to believe. I don't know what to believe on a stupid tweet saying I need more money, but... The Ravens, they're a team that relies on the running game, though, right? Like, the fact that they traded, I thought they got a great return for Hollywood Brown. And then you're getting J.K. Dobbins back. Yep. Like, he was supposed to be a big factor there. And they're a team that relies on the running game and then good defense. I think that's an under-the-radar team who could be a threat in the AFC. But whereas I hesitate to call them a Super Bowl contender is because I don't really believe in Lamar Jackson to carry me through four straight playoff wins. At some point, a quarterback is going to have to beat a team from the pocket. We've seen Lamar Jackson in the playoffs before, and it was not a pretty sight.
As a one seed.
As a one seed. And they got hammered. Remember the Chargers absolutely hammered them?
Yep.
Like, I don't have a whole lot of faith as Lamar Jackson is a Super Bowl quarterback, to be honest. I don't think he's ever going to win a Super Bowl, if I'm being completely honest. How about the Colts as a team who needs more hype?
No.
That kind of mad at me.
Yeah.
Like, I love Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor's the best running back in the league.
Yeah.
But Matt Ryan is your quarterback. Did they upgrade? Sure. Should they have been a playoff team last year? Sure. But are you taking the Colts as a team that can make a Super Bowl run, or a team that needs more hype as a team that could take a Super Bowl? I don't either. Like, they're to me a 9-8, 10-7 team.
I got one for
you. What do you got?
I got the Chargers.
Okay.
You added Khalil Mack. You added one of the best corners on the that was out there available to a defense that's already been good. You get another year of mature Justin Herbert. You still got really good receivers, and Eckler and the running backs are fine. I believe that the Chargers are a team because of what Mack can do to wreak havoc. If, and it's a big if, it's kind of like James Harden. This is a getting back to all the things he's done in the past, but to reestablish himself and prove himself. Mack's got to come back and say, yeah, I kind of struggled with how bad the Bears were, and I got lost in it and just kind of lost my way. But now that I'm on a squad like this with Bosa and the guys around me, I believe Derwin James, I believe that I can really do some things again. And he resurrects himself. That's all they need, and that team is ready to take the next step up, in my opinion.
See, Mack, for me, he doesn't even need to be the old Khalil Mack. It's almost the Bregman conversation. Like, I don't need Bregman with this offense to be 18-19 Bregman. He just needs to be pretty good. He needs to be like 75% of that. I would say the same thing with Khalil Mack. Like, the fact that he's opposite of Bosa, like, I don't need Khalil Mack to have 15 sacks. I need him to garner the respect of the offensive line and the protection for the quarterback. Because Mack playing opposite of Bosa almost opens up more for Bosa than what it might do for Mack. I just need him to be at 75% of his old self. But Herbert should take that next step. Like, Herbert, I can't get over the fact that the Chargers lost to the Texans last year. Like, that resonates in my
mind
so much.
Just like a starting pitcher that has one of those games. It seems like they had one of those games.
For sure. For sure. But the fact that Herbert, like, I know Herbert wasn't even like terrible in that game. He had a terrible start and then had a better second half. Like, I can't get over the fact that they lost to the stinking Houston Texans last year in a must-win game for them. Like, that resonates probably in me more than it should when evaluating the Chargers. But they're a team that has, like, on paper, they should very much be in the mix in the AFC. And I think that they do get lost in the shuffle there because of Kansas City, because the Broncos added Russell Wilson. I don't love Denver, to be honest with you. And then, like, the Raiders bringing in Davante Adams. There's still no reason the Chargers shouldn't be the second-best team in the West.
Look, and here's the thing. Getting back to your Mac point, there's a reason why Clowney was effective last year.
Yeah.
Because with Myles Garrett, you can't double-team them both. And if you're going to double-team Myles Garrett, then one-on-one matchups for a guy that's as athletic and physical as a Jadeveon Clowney sets you up to have better success and better numbers because you're facing something that you haven't really seen your whole career. Same thing with Mac. If they're going to double-team Bosa and Mac gets himself into good physical condition and stays healthy, him beating one-on-ones is something that I believe in him to still be able to do and wreak havoc because Bosa's facing the double team.
And I think it could work the other way, too, where, like, Mac draws some attention to where now you can't double team Bosa.
So especially interior-wise, if he's getting a good push interior-wise and you got to load up on that side, Bosa can do the same thing.
Yeah, that's why like, I don't need Mac to have 15 sacks. I just need the offense to respect him when they're looking at their protection going up against that Chargers defense. How about the Saints as a team that needs more hype going into the 2022 season?
You got two big question marks for me that still are unanswered. Dennis Allen as a head coach to me is something I'm going to wait and see because Sean Payton, we know what a genius he's been offensively. And I think that it's still an incomplete on Jameis Winston. And look, he had signs of looking really good early in the season before he got hurt a year ago. But you're still relying on Jameis Winston to be the difference maker for a team that loaded up on wide receiver and added Jarvis Landry. Now, the Alvin Kamara situation is going to be a big play in that, too, which is why I'd be hesitant because he could get six games. He could get half a season. We don't know, but we know he was in a bar fight in Vegas, and that hasn't gone away, and that it was a pretty big deal at the time that the NFL is going to look negatively towards and probably lay down some sanctions. So when you think about that and you think about the question marks around quarterback and head coach, I can't give them any more hype than, look, I think they can be a good team, but I'm not going any further than that and hyping them up more than that.
I don't think Jameis Winston's an incomplete. It's the one disagreement I have with you. I think we know who we have in Jameis Winston.
Okay, because you're not saying he looked, I mean, look, he made improvements, but I agree with he is who he is.
He's 27 years old. He's going to be 28 next year. Like the idea that Jameis Winston's going to turn into a top five quarterback, it does not exist. Like, he is who he is. He's going to put up huge volume numbers, but he's also going to throw a ton of picks and put your offense in terrible spots. That's the reason Tampa Bay moved on from Jameis Winston after he led the league in passing, but he also threw the most interceptions. Like, he's a volatile quarterback. You don't know if he's going to have a brilliant play on one down and then have a terrible play on the next down. He is that guy.
But the reason why we don't know if he is that guy is because he took a year off to basically go back to school and learn from Peyton and Drew Brees. And then coming out of that, he showed signs that he had learned some things. And obviously, week one against Green Bay, they blew their doors off. Green Bay wasn't ready for what was coming at him. The Saints had prepped, and he played a lot of reps.
Yeah.
He was ready to go. After that, it was kind of hit or miss a little bit, but he looked better than he had been in the past, especially because he wasn't throwing as many picks. Then he got hurt. So I would say we still don't know what that had done to him in terms of could he have taken another half step up. It's possible. That's why I'm not going to shut the door on it.
To your point, before he got hurt last year, you could make the argument, not saying I totally believe it, but you can make the argument that he was playing some of his best football. Like, his touchdown to interception ratio was pretty good, but his completion percentage was not good. So that would be a fair argument, but I'm not sure I'd be willing to go that far. Josh and Beaumont, did y'all mention the Raiders? I think their offense has the potential to be dangerous. I believe that offense can be dangerous as well. I'm not a believer with that defense or Josh McDaniels. I think that they could have a top five offense, but go like 10-7 and be ousted in their first playoff game.
I can see that. I mean, look, this is as much as when we're sitting about discussing who should get more hype, you have to have an established quarterback. I'm more likely to give Denver more hype because Russell Wilson can be better than what they've had over the last 5 years, and he's what they've sorely needed with investing a lot of draft capital in high picks on receivers, having, you know, going out and getting, you know, the running backs that they've gotten over the last couple of years, both youth and Melvin Gordon, you know, doing the things where their defense has been better than a lot of people give them credit for because their offense has been so putrid. So I'm willing to give more hype potential to the Broncos than I am looking at other situations where you go, well, Tua's still got to prove himself. Well, until you've established yourself and proved yourself, the rest of your team, it doesn't matter to me. Because that's a difference maker.
All right, those are the NFL teams who maybe should have more hype. Maybe they shouldn't. But what in Houston sports should get more hype? 713-780-ESPN. What in Houston should get more hype? 713-780-3776. One thing that has a ton of hype and should get even more is ProDunk Hoops. Because they're the best basketball goal in the market. They are the very best. It has a tempered glass backboard, gives you that true, authentic feel. That is awesome. Adjustable goals for every part of the game. You want to go have a three-point shootout, 10-foot goal, you can do that. You want to lower it down, have a dunk contest with your kid, you can do that, and then you can see your kid just mop the floor with you and probably beat you in that dunk contest. But if you are dunking, they have a competition-grade breakaway rim, perfect for dunking, hanging, keeping you safe. Also, the extended overhang, which keeps a clear path under the rim, which is very good if you have weak ankles like me. Durability is a strength of ProDunk Hoops, stainless steel fasteners, thicker steel, and you know in Houston they have to have that exclusive rust armor, which makes them sturdy and strong, unlike any other of those soft goals you'll find at the big box stores. And the best feature, at least for me, especially in this 105-degree heat in July, they will install the goal. The pros at ProDunk Hoops will professionally install the goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You hang out in the AC as the pros at ProDunk Hoops bear the elements and bear the heat and do all of the work for you. ProDunk Hoops goals come in a variety of sizes and options. It'll be the perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Give them a call, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What in Houston sports should get more hype? Local here, Houston sports. What should get more hype in our fair city?
I thought you said hype, so I just raised the chair. Because this chair
is... Well, I can always use a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I got short-shamed earlier on Twitter, by the way.
Really?
They asked me if I was...
Oh, the Palillo thing.
Yeah. I got short-shamed.
I wouldn't say you were. I think you're taller than Charlie.
I am the average. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
Wow. I think the Astros World Series chances. Here's the thing. I saw Robert Flores, and God bless him because of the fact that he responds to everything.
but
Not Santa keeps going at him, fighting his opinion that the national media has moved on and doesn't have any negative bias towards the Astros. And they keep going back and forth. But I think that overall, the Yankees are still believed to be not only the favorite in the American League, but in most people's eyes, the favorite to win the World Series. And I think he and others, I don't think he was as quick to say it, but everybody else that we've had on air has made the comment that it starts with the Yankees, and it has led people to believe they're the team to beat. I think that's embarrassing because you're overlooking, not just the way you're overlooking the individual comparison between Aaron Judge and Yordan Alvarez, but you're looking at that saying, look, we saw the gauntlet. We saw the head-to-heads. We saw them play the two best teams in baseball, not named the Houston Astros, and come out with a 7-2 record. We saw all these things, and we aren't the only ones that saw it. So why is it only from a local, very much weighted in the direction of the blue and orange anyway, but why isn't the national perspective at least catching on to what the Astros have been putting down that we knew for a long time?
I'm glad you're starting to see it my way.
Oh, shut up.
I'm very happy you're starting to see it my way. Now, that is, like, if most people would tell you that the Astros are top two most likely to come out of the American League to make the World Series, but you're looking at it more from, like, who gets talked about the most as an AL contender. And it starts and ends with the New York Yankees. And I've seen it, too. They're talking about the Yankees and having this historic season, which they are. I mean, they're on pace to have a historic season. I haven't seen the current pace, but like as recently as last week, they're on pace to have the most wins in a regular season in Major League Baseball history and break the mark held by the Seattle Mariners. So you do see more pub for the Yankees, but also feel like they've earned it, too, right? Like, they have the most wins in the AL. They are the betting favorite. Although, if I'm trying to compare the two teams, Yankees and Astros, I think they're on par. I think that they're the same level. I think they're the same caliber. And if you want to look at head-to-head, the Astros have had, they won the best of five series there last month, taking 3 of 5 against the Yankees over that week span. So I think that the Astros are more than capable of beating the Yankees 4 out of 7 games as currently constructed both sides. So from like a national perspective, yeah, maybe the Astros should get some more hype. I believe it's the University of Houston. I believe that the University That's of fair. Houston is a sleeping giant, off to a Power 5 conference, off to the Big 12. I think that they could eventually, in a decade's time, be the powerhouse of the Big 12, whether it's the football side of things with Dana Holgorsen, basketball continuing their thing with Kelvin Sampson, specifically the U of H hoops. I think U of H should get more hype because we all love our college sports. This is our local university, off to a Power 5, and the Big 12 is looking for a powerhouse, and I think the University of Houston can do that in a decade's time.
I should have known that the Don King power train was coming, because if there's anybody that should be leading the hype train for that particular subject, it's you, and I don't disagree with you. I believe they've been overlooked for an extended period of time, and they don't deserve that, and I think they're finally starting to get their due, and I think that it's way overdue with Kelvin. Because of the fact that he recruits and where the team finishes and with more wins. And like we said, there's twofold. It's the wins in the regular season and where you finish in the top 25. And then it's the run into the tournament. And they've been able to do both consistently and now enough. They should get more hype. The fact that Dana consistently is fighting against the bigger SEC and Big 12 schools that were trying to recruit Houston, that were trying to get all that talent, and found a way to win, and basically after kind of a questionable start, and people looking at it like, is Dana going to be on the hot side?
He'd be the first one to tell you.
Yeah, and at the end of the year, look at what he did again, and look at what he's able to do, and look what that program continues to do. So look, I don't think you're wrong by that. I think that there's a legitimate point to be made nationally again, that they don't pay enough attention to the Cougars because they're not in the SEC, because they're not consistently one of those power schools.
Think of it, too. Like, the Big 12 and the new, you know, alignment of the Big 12, different. And in the Big 10 and the SEC have taken strides to make them the top two conferences in college football. There's no argument there. Like, I'm not trying to say that the Big 12 is the Big 10 or the SEC. I think the Big 12 can be top four caliber conference in the entire country, which is good. And I think you can win a national championship from a top three, top four conference in the entire country. The Big 12 also right now, name me the football powerhouse. I don't think that it exists. Baylor, to me, has had the most recent success, and they're doing a great
Aranda's
job with Aranda.
A good job,
yeah. He's a great coach. Yep. Dave Aranda is fantastic, so there's no argument there. TCU's also in the same ballpark, so now you're competing with the Metroplex, and Dykes went over there, so you're going to have some competition. Houston being in I think, one of the best pipelines for Houston for athletics, period, high school sports, and the recruits that you get out of football from Houston, the recruits you get out of Houston from basketball. Like, they have some built-in advantages that they could take off. Because a lot of former players, they didn't want to go to Houston because they were playing in the American. Call it what it is. But now that you're taking that step up, and maybe you're still getting poached from the SEC at times, but you keep everybody else locally, I think it could take off. I really believe that.
This is a huge positive. Because if you remember the last time they were looking to elevate, U of H was looking to elevate and get in a bigger conference, the majority of the schools that were against it were the schools that continually recruit Houston and come out with big-time recruits, whether it be Oklahoma or Oklahoma State, or like you said, LSU and SEC schools, Alabama and such. You look at this now and say, this is actually even possibly a bigger win for Houston, because the one selling point that actually was a detriment to them, as opposed to you get the kids that want to stay at home, but say, yeah, but I'm not going to play an SEC schedule where the NFL scouts are watching me every single week. Mm-hmm. Now you can sit there and say, you get the best of both worlds. You get to stay close to home. You get to play at a university which prioritizes your sport and what you do. And you get to play against competition every single week with a television schedule that says, you are going to be seen. And if you are good enough, you are going to play on the next level. I think that's a huge advantage for the school at this point.
I've talked to several coaches that say that the caliber of conversations, the conversations that they're having with the caliber of players has increased a lot just with the announcement of it. So
if
you get there in 2 years and you're having some success, I think you take another step forward. 713-780-ESPN. What in Houston sports should get more hype? 713-780-3776. Also, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Dre says Jordan Alvarez should get more hype. Disappointed with the so-called cool crowd called Astros Twitter. He's taking some shots at Astros Twitter, who can't vote in a leading candidate for MVP. I want to take the All-Star game part of the equation out of this with Jordan Alvarez. But as far as Jordan Alvarez being underappreciated or deserving more hype, absolutely. Jordan Alvarez, the best offensive player in the American League, if not all of baseball. You hear Aaron Judge this, Aaron Judge that, Aaron Judge the best, going to flirt with 60. He's the MVP. Jordan Alvarez, 25 years old, best hitter in all of baseball at the age of 25, and he does not get the hype that is deserving for the production that he produces.
I called Aaron Judge early in Twitch today the best-kept secret in baseball.
Judge.
Jordan. I called Jordan the best-kept secret in baseball because even when we started to put the numbers to the overall opinion that he is better than Aaron Judge in terms of the season he's having, that anything other than home runs is where the argument should stop if you're in favor of Aaron Judge, because every other statistical category, Jordan has surpassed Aaron Judge and gotten right where he needs to be. But the fact that it is in the media circus and the number one media market of New York, because the Yankees always get that extra love. It's infuriating on certain days, and especially last night with Sunday Night Baseball with the Aaron Judge love, that you're getting the over the top, like as if he has no competition in the American League. It's like, yeah, I get it. And even with the amount of wins they got early in the season, I can understand why you were on that train early. But guess what? There's a new engine running down the track, and Jordan Alvarez is the conductor, and he's kicking some serious ass right now.
And for me, it's not even like taking away from Judge.
No.
It's just that somebody else is in that conversation.
Don't be afraid to give credit where credit is due, no matter how good, you know, whatever camp you're in, no matter how good your favorite player or that you think is the best player in the league, it's time for a discussion to expand by one to add another guy that has all the background and the resume to say, I deserve to be in that convo.
713-780-ESPN. What in Houston sports should get more hype? 713-780-3776, our HRMP listener line. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, let me tell you about New Brakes. I tell you about New Brakes all the time because New Brakes is the only way that you should get your brakes done today. That's because of the fact that they take all of the absolute negativity out of getting your brakes done. What do I mean by that? Saving time is saving money, and you're saving time with New Brakes. Go to nubrakes.com and see what I mean. They come to you to do what they do. That means you don't have to go to a brake shop. You don't have to wait in a waiting room. You don't have to be at the mercy of a mechanic that's having a slow day or wants to try and upsell you on what your car looks like it's leaning towards needing. No, they're going to come to your job or your house, and while you are either doing a honey-do list, cutting the lawn or watching a game, or you're at the office with emails and meetings, not missing a beat, they're fixing your brakes. All certified brake technicians. All they do is brakes. They're not going to upsell you on anything else. They got a full schedule every day. They're not going to waste time, yours or theirs, as they get your brakes done and then move on to the next gig. They use the same brake parts as any brake shop in town. They have the same prices and their competitive prices as any brake shop in town. And the biggest thing is they come to you to do what they do. Mention me and or ESPN 97.5, save 10%. But more so than that, save time, which is saving you money. Go to newbrakes.com. That's NUbrakes.com.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Still Quintero, shot, took a deflection, there's a rebound, oh yes! It's Teenage Hadaibi!
The legendary Glenn Davis on the call. You can listen to him on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, select Dynamo games, and also with Soccer Matters each and every week.
Hector Herrera made soccer matter this weekend here in Houston.
Who needs more hype in the city of Houston? What in Houston sports should get more hype? 713-780-ESPN. Yeah, somebody, not Santa, tweeting at us saying the Dash need more hype. Lava Spike Jones, Hector Herrera, and the Dynamo. PNC Stadium was sold out Saturday night, and it was an absolute madhouse. I miss my days. It was BBVA Compass back when I was doing it. But 3 years as the radio voice of the Dynamo. I miss that dearly. I love doing it.
It's a great environment.
And they only had one good year, to be honest.
It's an intimate stadium. I was there for the first ever game when they opened the stadium. And just the fact that there's not a bad seat in that stadium, and it the perfect backdrop right there with the skyline, just like the fact that you've created this cluster of you know, arenas and stadiums right there in a small walking area. And you look at it and say, if the team had been consistently better, would things have changed? You would hope so, to get more hype, because they deserve sold-out crowds like that. They deserve to feel the impact of in the entire league that they've been able to go through. And look, it is a shame that it's not Santa's the biggest soccer honk next to Glenn Davis that I know, and I don't really know him, but I do think that even when the Dash won it all, it was like people really never even got on board. And that's a shame, because it's still another Houston team, and it's a team that did well.
Yeah, I miss going out there watching those Dynamo matches.
You and Pelillo, they had a height challenge.
Yeah, he was a former Dynamo radio voice too, just like I was. But yeah, I think they were playing FC Dallas over the weekend, the Texas Derby, which is always a lot of fun.
Like the Silver Boot.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like that. But it's always fun to see the Dynamo and FC Derby on the pitch. It's always fun to see that Texas Derby. Most hype in the city of Houston. Which team or which anything in Houston sports? What in Houston sports should get more hype? Klopp's is saying Brian Abreu, and I could not agree more. Brian Abreu, 2.01 ERA now. 2.01 ERA. Do you know that Brian Abreu has not given up an earned run in 13 straight appearances?
He's tried.
13
He's tried.
Straight.
He's self-inflicted more base runners.
All's well that ends well. But that tells you how good he is at working around trouble, right?
All right, Johnny, eye test. When it comes to the playoffs, when I say you want Brian Abreu to face the Yankees, and you want him to face Stanton and Judge and LeMahieu?
Should have been an all-star. 2.01 ERA.
Oh, my God. If there's any argument, that's the one that should be made. Brian Abreu over Ryan Stanek.
He has not allowed an earned run since May 23rd. He's gone months without allowing an earned run.
Please, I can't today.
8664-Ochocho. I would love for Jabari Smith to get more hype, but if his ceiling is Rashard Lewis or LaMarcus Aldridge, that ain't happening. I feel like that's selling him short. He's not Rashard Lewis
either. He's 19.
Rashard Lewis was very much like a wing. Like, Jabari Smith is a four.
He could be a wing.
He's more of a four, in my opinion.
It depends on how he develops physically. He could be a wing. I mean, look, he could be. It's actually a good comp if he doesn't get to where everybody expects him to get to, that he could be a Rashard Lewis type. And that's not a slap at anybody's face. Rashard Lewis was an all-star. But I think that your expectations for a guy with his size and his abilities and his athleticism already is that at 19, if he's already this developed physically and has these many skills from a basketball standpoint, you got to believe that in a year or two, when he fills out and gets a little stronger and bigger and really understands the NBA game, he can be even better.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. Look, I think that when the number one overall pick falls to three, the expectation is not only did you get the steal of the draft, but he should be ready to play, just plug and play right away. And what you saw over the weekend, over the first two games of the Rocket Summer League, is he's still raw. He's still 19. He's still only been playing against high school and 1 year of college competition. It's going to take some time. It doesn't. That's not a slap in his face or diminishes his value or his abilities in any way, shape, or form. It's just, it's going to be, there's a reality check for the fan base that says this is still going to be somewhat of a project to get him where he needs to be.
He's still raw offensively. Defensively, I think he's, I mean, not to say he's a finished product, but he's going to be a plus defensive player as a rookie. He's going to be a good shooter as a rookie, but in terms of his scoring ability, getting to the rim, finishing at the rim, getting to his spots on the floor, rising and firing, and his handles need a lot of help too.
He's got to work on passive-aggressive, Jeremy. Look, he's too passive offensively.
I think so. He wasn't as passive in game two, which was a good sign, that he was very passive in game one.
Josh Christopher will do that to anybody.
Josh Christopher took the ball out of his hands. In game two, that's what I liked about game two, and even though he didn't have a good shooting game, like he was still looking for a shot despite that he was shooting so poorly. So I like that from like game one to game two.
To your point, look, individually as a defender, he's already going to be good enough. But defensively, where I think he's going to struggle, but it's going to take a little time, is just like I said, switches, rotations, defensively, the way the team defense reacts in the NBA versus the college.
Playing that team defense for sure. 713-780-ESPN. What in Houston sports should get more hype? Jeremy Peña as rookie of the year in Major League Baseball and the American League.
Look, for everybody that's focused on these individual awards, and thank goodness JV's, it just keeps chugging along. But the bigger thing, why the hype hasn't been there, in regards to Peña in specific, it's just health. If Jeremy Peña is healthy enough to have played the full season to this point, his numbers would far outweigh any other rookie in every category, and he'd be fine, and we wouldn't be talking about Bobby Witt Jr., and we wouldn't be talking about the kid in Seattle. We'd be talking about nothing but Peña, but because of the fact that Peña's had two stints on the IL, and then he had this little health hiccup recently, you can't sit there and hype him up more until he's out there enough to deserve all the hype that he should have been gotten previously. It's the same thing with Yordan. We made all the points, and we've told everybody that nationally doesn't know that he's better statistically than Judge. But now, because he's going to spend the next two series at the minimum on the IL, his numbers are going to come down, and Judge is going to build up more hype.
You're going to get more of the counting numbers. If I was voting today and I had a vote, Peña would be second. He'd be behind Julio Rodriguez to me. Julio Rodriguez, I believe, has been a little bit better as a rookie. And that's not a slight on Jeremy Peña at the least. Jeremy Peña has been fantastic. 713-780-3776, HRMP listener line. What in Houston sports should get more hype? How about Rafael Montero and his sub-2 ERA for your local nine?
No, not really.
What? Look,
because I give him, well, from the regular season perspective, yes. Should he be an all-star? No.
No, but it's just more hype.
That's fine. Look, I like what he's been able to do so far this year. It's been impressive that he's resurrected his career and that he has one bad game under his belt. But other than that, when you put him in the game, he does his job and he does it very well. And he doesn't do it while creating a very, very volatile situation that he gets out of. He basically just keeps the train moving down the track. I've still got to see more of him to be convinced he's your playoff guy to do the same thing, but I love where he's at so far, so I can see that.
I can see Montero getting more hype in the sense that you literally expected nothing out of him. Like last year, he was an afterthought because you got him in the Graveman trade, and he had like an ERA.
Well, he was going to be DFA.
He was DFA'd. He was DFA'd, but he just didn't have enough days yet to be claimed, and nobody was claiming him. So James Click was like, hey, just throw him into the trade. We'll throw in Joe Smith and call it a wash. And then he got hurt. Like, he got hurt last year, appeared in four games with the Astros. So he was an afterthought that he was even on this roster. And all of a sudden, now he's your eighth inning guy. So, yeah, I think Montero deserves some more hype. And he's been unbelievable. He's been, you didn't expect anything from Montero. And all of a sudden that he has a sub-2 ERA as your setup man is quite miraculous, honestly. 713-780-ESPN. What in Houston sports should get more hype? 0830 saying, what about Stanek? Feels like he hasn't gotten enough credit.
I agree. I think, look, as much as when I saw the thing on Sunday Night Baseball last night of Boone being able to tell his players, you know, they were all-stars, and I'm looking across the league and I'm going, how do you look past Ryan Stanek? You know, I hope that due to injury, someone finds a way to find Ryan Stanek a place on that all-star team, because I don't know how much more you can expect one reliever in one season to do not playing in New York to get a nod to be on an all-star team. I think the hype train could build up any other reliever with Ryan Stanek. The hype train in New York had the numbers that Stanek had to deal with, I think Stanek would already been on this team.
To me, there was a couple of things working against Stanek because he has been really good. I've even like
a proponent. Not a closer.
Yeah, the fact that he's not even your top three high leverage guy. Like Neris, Montero, and Presley are all getting more high leverage situations than Stanek. And then if you look at the construction of the AL roster, there's like two or three relievers. Like they put a ton of starters on there. Yep. So it's hard to justify a sixth inning guy ahead of like the number three closer in all of the American League. But he's pitched unbelievable. He's pitched really good. 713-780-ESPN. What in Houston sports should get more hype? And would you delete that tweet? Zach Wilson, we'll ask one of the Wilhousemen. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What in Houston sports should get more hype? A couple people texted in on this. Arcidi and Javier need more hype. F Jake over easy. That seems unkind to over easy. 8693. The more deserved hype is absolutely U of H basketball, specifically Kelvin Sampson for his top tier coaching and recruiting. Not many programs as consistent as Sampson and U of H in the past few years. That is accurate. Brad Kellner is with us. You can listen to him each and every day, Monday through Friday, weekdays 3 to 7 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. What in Houston sports should get more hype, BK?
I'm on. I don't know why I'm looking around like I'm not on. I agree with the Houston basketball sentiment. I really do. With what they've done over the past couple of years, I think they deserve a little bit more love. Like, they get love in the NCAA tournament. And Jeremy, you can obviously attest to this better than I can. But it doesn't feel like until the tournament starts, people are paying enough attention to what Kelvin Sampson accomplishes seemingly year in and year out. So I'd buy that as well. I think he deserves a little bit more love. And, man. Martin Maldonado's defense and his game calling. Nobody
I thought
praises
you were
going to
say
those.
Mound visits.
No one praises those.
Mound visits. I can't believe I forgot about the importance of mound visits.
The Astros team ERA would be like 15 if Maldi wasn't on this team. And people forget Maldi actually was on the 2017 World Series team. He was. He just didn't play. People don't remember that. So, yeah, I don't think people are praising Maldonado's intangibles enough. They talk about his bat. They don't talk about the intangibles.
I mean, that's a stick. And he's just constantly improved.
He's red hot in July.
That stick is just...
He's red hot in July.
He is feared amongst American League pitchers right now.
Oh, he is, man.
Yeah. I agree with that about Maldonado, though. Because people even look like, oh, his defensive war is not very good. Obviously, his batting average isn't very good. His offense is very poor. And look, like Wilson Contreras, like that is an upgrade over Martin Maldonado. But I think like the intangibles is a great way to put it. But also just the pitching staff. Like, what does losing your battery mate to one of the best pitching staffs in all of baseball do for your team? Like, I'm not rocking the nest there.
As much as we've seen analytics kind of explode in the last couple of years, and with it, values financially and or what it means to a team increase with it to where it's all offensively driven because those are the stats that we're breaking down. Yeah. You can break down some defensive categories, but to your point, Jeremy, I think the bigger thing is what a veteran – leader behind the plate can mean to a staff that has the combination of a true ace at the top, but a bunch of youth that had to be kind of served, kind of be brought into line and worked with pitch by pitch and really managed. And he's been able to do that. There should be more value across the league for a guy because he can take an average staff and make them better. And I'm not saying they had an average staff, but you can actually do the same thing like a great hitting coach can make a certain hitter better. I think a great signal caller behind the plate can make your entire staff better.
That's the, like, we can try to measure everything that we possibly can. You can never measure everything. Like, math would tell you you can't, right? Because numbers are infinite. And you also, there's certain things that you can't measure as well in terms of, like, the game planning for an offense. Martin Maldonado, you had Alex Cora call Martin Maldonado one of the smartest guys in all of baseball. So if you have that mind behind the dish, working with a young pitching staff, he doesn't even work with Verlander most days. Verlander usually throws to Castro whenever he's healthy. What does that value reflect in like team ERA? Like if you just had a mediocre, you know, catcher that's, you know, okay defensively, he's okay with a bat, but he's got like an average to below average IQ and game planning and calling a game. how much different is this team's ERA versus what it is right now?
Different.
I do too. And you can't measure that. You cannot measure that. You're kind of trying to make your best guess.
Yeah, I think it's impossible to quantify. You can't. I mean, you feel like Maldonado's making an impact and making a difference, and everybody in that staff praises him, his ability to call a game, his ability to keep them calm and composed in jam-packed situations. So, yeah, but there's no stat that really shows.
I'm not saying it's this easy, but where would the stat be with Gary Sanchez behind the plate? As opposed to Martin Maldonado, right? Because we're talking about defensively, too. Maldi making that. Everybody remembers the crazy foul ball catch. But just think about how often he throws out runners and what he's able to do when he knocks down baseballs, running down the third baseline during the switch, making a play like that. Think about what Gary Sanchez can't do defensively all over the place, even before you get to managing a pitching staff, and say, how bad would this pitching staff look?
It'd be Evan Gattis behind the plate. Well, we've seen it. We've seen it with Evan Gattis back whenever he was a backstop. He was atrocious defensively.
I think Sanchez is worse.
I think it's pretty close.
Sanchez's average higher than Maldi's this year?
I don't think so. He's had a really rough year.
I feel like there's been a couple of years.
He went Oppo Taco, I think, yesterday. So he did get a home run recently.
Okay.
Other than that.
And Maldi hit one on Friday.
And your boy Correa hit one at your home ballpark. Correa hit one 440 in Arlington.
Fire.
Yeah, he did.
Correa's catching fire. You've seen the Zach Wilson stuff. We were talking about it during the break. There was this dude from Barstool. I think his name was Jack, who cares? What's the difference?
Oh, right? Jake's a big, no.
What's the difference? But anyways, he posted the video kind of highlighting what the ex-girlfriend was saying and the rumors, you know, he's now with his former best friend, ex-teammate, that Zach Wilson hooked up with his mom's best friend, all of that. And he put this on display. He magnified basically this Instagram story, whatever it was. Would you take down that video for your favorite athlete? First, we got to know who your favorite athlete is, whether it's current, whether it's all time.
Danica Patrick still count?
She's an athlete, but
Paige Spearneck?
No. She's an athlete. She's
not my favorite. Well, Paige is up there
okay.
on my list. Yeah, she's top five.
Okay.
She's very talented in a number of different ways.
Great swing.
I'm a fan
Smooth.
Of hers. Absolutely. I would never post anything like this about my favorite athlete, so I don't know if I can answer the question for would I take it down. Like, I wouldn't be trying to dig to the off-the-field, off-the-court life of somebody I really cared about in an effort to ruin their life.
What does Jake Asman do in the same situation, being that he's a Jets fan? Is it an interview once a month and a jersey, or is it what's it take to take it down?
He's got to pull a Ryland Freeman and negotiate some sort of deal.
The fact that kid's name is even recognizable.
Well, they showed it, and they showed him.
It became bigger than the game.
On ESPN about 400 times a couple of Sundays ago. Yeah, I guess that'd be smart. Negotiate a little bit, try to get something out of it, right? Like, hey, I want season tickets for every year you're the quarterback of the Jets. Otherwise, I'm gonna.
Or like if you're Barstool, right?
Zach Wilson asked him if he wanted anything. He said, please take it down. What will it take? And the dude's like, I don't want anything.
But if you're Barstool has also kind of created their own characters or their own. You could be like a Pat McAfee show and say, how about you do once a month with us? Or once every Tuesday, or you know, however you plan it out to your schedule.
I'm not a fan of this. You're exploiting the guy and using it to your benefit.
Hell yes. It's the same way athletes do it every day.
It's blackmail.
Doesn't he bail anyways when this still goes crazy after the video's taken down?
I would hope so. I would hope he did. I would hope that he would back out of it. Absolutely.
I don't think you realize how many professional athletes do the same thing for their benefit on a daily basis.
Well, I know that they do.
People's moms.
No, like, you know, you can call it blackmail or whatever, but they'll sign stuff, do stuff as long as they get what they need.
Get a couple bucks, go sign a few autographs, but that's name, image, likeness. You're making the most out of your... Did you say your favorite athlete, BK?
No.
Are you gonna?
I don't know. I got to think about that.
See, I'm with you. That was the pushback that I had to the
Michael
question,
Schumacher?
Too. Like, my favorite athlete... I'm not posting negativity in videos on Twitter, especially if I think it's going to go viral and expose them. I'm staying away from that.
Yeah, I'm not doing that either. But that's kind of Barstool's bit, right?
Right. Like,
and look, Barstool's...
But why would he take it down then?
Because he got the initial hype and run, and then out of it, if it still meant something to him enough to take it down, he got more out of it, and your employer is giddy with you for getting that done.
And I think
win-win.
I think maybe he thought he would have a cool story to tell. Like, I posted this, and Zach Wilson reached out to me and told me to take it down, and then he stayed following me on Twitter, and we actually met a couple of times to get drinks, and we became friends. And he was, like, almost hoping that was going to happen, and then when Zach Wilson unfollowed him, because this is how we are in 2022, someone unfollows you on social media, he felt the need to try to re-ruin his life.
Mm-hmm.
So, Barstool fans like this. Like, I like Barstool. I don't love it as much as some people, but like Barstool fans, I think they look for kind of the crossover.
Which side is Jake on now? Is Jake mad at Wilson or is Jake mad at the Barstool guys?
We'll find out today.
Yeah.
I really don't
know. That's what's coming up on the Wheelhouse.
We'll definitely get into that.
I think this makes Zach Wilson look good. I think this helps to the legend of Zach Wilson, if I'm being honest. Now, he needs to produce on the field.
That would be a big factor.
That's probably the biggest factor. But in terms of like the legacy of Zach Wilson, if he can produce on the field, I'm thinking Broadway Joe. I'm thinking Derek Jeter. Now, you got to play, and you got to play well, but I don't think this is a bad thing for Zach Wilson, if I'm being completely honest.
He's got to play well, like you said.
His mom has already been way too far out in front of everything since the
Maybe
night he was drafted.
Her down.
And let's hope so. But, I mean, the bigger thing, too, is when you take into perspective from a single man, I want BK's opinion, if you're his best friend slash roommate and you end up breaking the man laws and using the man card in the wrong way and take his ex-girlfriend, is that a cool thing to do?
It's a bad bit. And you can't do it in the same year that they broke up, right? If it's 4 or 5 years down the line and you ask your buddy, hey, man, has it been long enough? Like, her and I have a connection. I want to reach out. Then I'm okay with it. But to do it months after the breakup, that's a bad
tweak sauce. There's enough fish in the sea. Yeah.
Brendan dated one of his former friends, ex-girlfriends, and he said that he asked for permission, but even if he said no, that it wasn't going to change anything.
It wouldn't have changed anything. It was high school, if that makes any difference.
I think it does. I think it does make a little bit of a difference. These guys are adults now. Like, you should know better. In high school, you don't really think about stuff like that as much.
I'm anti-dating a girl that's your former or your friend's ex. I'm against that.
I think that in the bylaws of your man card, there is something in there that says, look, I've been in a situation where my old roommate decided that in his mind enough time had passed that he didn't even ask me about it.
Here's the thing, too, about asking. Like, if you're asking, you already crossed the line. Like, at what point are you
asking? You've already
asking?
Figured out that there's something there.
There's already something there, and there's already a line you've already crossed. So, like, once you get to the point of asking, like, the damage has already been done, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's fair. I actually had this happen to me a couple of weeks ago, where, like, a family member was trying to set me up with someone, and that someone had dated one of my friends. Like, not a close friend, but, like, a guy I'm running the same circles with, and I didn't even ask him. I told my family member, like, I can't do it. Like, they dated for a long
Good
time.
For you.
They just broke up a couple months ago. I'm not messing with this.
I'll tell Maury not to do that again.
I'm was it Maury this time? It'll probably be him next time, though. Yeah.
It'll probably be Maury next time. Anti-dating a friend's ex. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse today?
We'll get Jake's thoughts on the Zach Wilson story. I'm excited to hear what he has to say.
He's going
to
be hot about it, I bet.
I think so.
And did the Astros screw this up? Should the Astros be criticized for the way they've handled Yordan Alvarez over the last couple of weeks? And also, what's the panic level for Jabari Smith Jr.?
Mm. Really?
Panic level already?
I'm asking if there is one.
That sounds like some riveting stuff. Some can't-miss stuff coming up on the Wheelhouse. And, of course, Jake's, I think he's going to come in red hot about Zach Wilson. There's no doubt about it. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.